Amen. Everybody been saying it since they've been up here. I might as well keep it on. Happy Father's Day to everybody. It is good. Some folks started helping me celebrate yesterday. Amen. Trudy started early this morning. She said, what you want for dinner? And I said, I don't know yet. She said, that means you want a salad. And I said, no, we can have one as a side, but that doesn't mean what she has. She's already been blessing me and prepping me for a great Father's Day. Gave me a new shirt and ironed it for me. Shoot, sookie. Amen. But again, let me thank God to the praise team and to all of you and to those of you who are online and a young lady who's become just a beloved daughter, Rachel. I'm so glad to see you in the place, and I'm trusting in God's timing. And so we appreciate each and every one of you. In Isaiah chapter 40 and the 31st verse, you'll find a few words, and I'm just going to say a couple. They that wait, I'm gonna stop right there. They that wait. I wanna talk about one of the hardest lessons in the Bible. Michelle, look at me, let me tell you, I really believe this is one of the hardest lessons in the Bible. Greg, I'm convinced that applying this text is one of the hardest lessons in the Bible. Mario, you back? You still back there? What did I say? This is one of the hardest lessons in the Bible. Tracy, what did I say? One of the hardest lessons in the Bible. But Tracy, you know, you can be a witness. I don't want you to shout yet. We'll shout later on. And it's hard because there's a lot of falsehoods surrounding the issue of, you know. And one of the falsehoods is Satan has some of us thinking that it's just about it's a sin to have to, you know. But the truth is, waiting is not a sin. The truth is, there are some people that are spoiled. There are some people that are ignorant. And there are some people that have a spirit of entitlement. Even Christians that think that because they serve God and love God, they're entitled to have anything and everything that they can name and claim and put it in a picture and frame. And they try to pimp God and use faith as a weapon at God instead of having faith in God, because there's a whole bunch of believers that don't want to, you know. But the truth is, sometimes it's to your advantage. I'm convinced we have a whole society of engineers and market people in marketing and planning and commerce that have spent a lot of energy trying to keep people from having to, you know. And if you were to ask some children, what does the word Kodak mean to you? Some children don't know what the word Kodak really means. Ariana, let me take you old school. Before your daddy and mama got you what you got, that you can't hardly live without. Sometimes they came in a little box. Sometimes they came in a bigger box. But there was a box with a circle on it with a piece of glass. That was called a camera. And you opened it up, and in the back, you would put something on the inside, Iresi, called film. You had a little you had a little lever that you would push it to the right. And on the cheap ones, you just had a dial. And depending upon how much film you could afford, sometimes you had 12 exposure, sometimes you had 24, and sometimes if you really had it going on, you could get as much as 36. And then you would take the picture, take another one, and when all the pictures were taken, you would take the film out and go down to the drugstore, put it in an envelope, put your name on it, and put your phone number on it, and drop it in a box. They would develop it and call you and tell you when it was ready, and you would go and pick your pictures up. And they would give you the negatives and the pictures. And you could then enjoy the picture that you took. All of that happened because along the way, there were some people back, all of that happened. That was in old school. But you got what you got right now because there were some people that didn't want to wait. I could go on and on and on because I'm old. And the older you are, the more stories and illustrations you have because people don't wanna wait. Falsehood number one, it is not a sin to wait. Let's get that straight. Falsehood number two, strength was given by God. Strength was not given to be stored. God does not make people strong so they can sit down and do nothing. You work to get strong, you get strong so you can work. It all goes together. But strength was not given so that it could be stored. And so when you get tired, when you get weary, it was intended for you to get tired. Listen to this. God made the whole world in six days. And then on the seventh day, he rested, but he didn't rest because he was tired. Because God don't get tired and God don't take naps. God don't need vacations. He rested to give us the model that every now and then you need to shut it down sometime. And so strength was not given so that it could be stored. Matter of fact, buy a new battery, put it in a car, and don't drive the car for a long time, and you'll experience the disappointment, though the battery was new, but because it was stored and never used, you can go and discover the disappointment, because if it wasn't used, then the strength is lost. It's the same way. You see it sometimes when people go in the hospital. They go in the hospital, they're feeling pretty good. And then they have surgery, and then they sit around or lay around for a few days, and then you discover that it takes them a minute, don't it, Junior? Because they haven't been moving. They haven't been up and about. It's because their strength, the energy has waned. But the more that they move, then the stronger that they get. But God does not give us strength just to store it. Along the way, you will get weary. Along the way, you will you will get tired. And there's nothing wrong with you because you get tired. There's nothing wrong with you. Matter of fact, that's what's wrong with some folk. You're tired, but you won't sit down. And so you're hard to get along with. And it ain't the other folk that's getting on their nerves. You need to go somewhere and sit down. You fussing and cussing and can't nobody please you. It may not be them. You might need to be the one to go in a room somewhere and shut the falsehood. let me get through this thing. Falsehood number one, waiting is not a sin. It's not a sin to wait. Falsehood number two, strength was not given to be stored. Here's the last one. Falsehood number three is that folk think that because you're young and strong, you're okay. And in essence, what people really think is, as long as I'm young, strong, I don't really need God right now. And the struggle with that is that you need God when you're young, even more so than when you're old. Because some of the biggest decisions that you will make in your life, you make them when you're young. It would help if you sought the Lord like the Bible said. Seek the Lord at an early age, and guess what? You'll find him. And if the idea is, it's easier to get a hold of the Lord at an early age because there are some evil days. God, the world has a way of creating a whole lot of baggage. But if you can focus and seek God's face at an early age, it will help you with the decisions so that when you do get older, you won't have to deal with some of the consequences and some of the baggage that bad decisions of your youth. And people think that when you're young, you can do anything. You can just hang out. And God has shown us some stuff. You know, you can be 20 years old, minding your own business. And because you're someplace, minding your own business at the wrong time, still calls your family to make a visit to the cemetery. Because young folk die. Young folk get weak. Young folk fall. Listen to what the text says. Even the youth, meaning, yes, older people get tired, older people get weary, older people get sick, but listen to the text. Even the youth grow weary. Even the youth get tired. Even the youth stumble and fall. You don't have to be old to fall. You don't have to be old to get sick. You don't have to be old to grow weary. Even youth, it can happen even when you're young. Job said that thing that I greatly feared happened to me. The thing that I was praying that would never happen, it came my way. He said that after the loss of his children, all of them were young. But it can happen even as a youth. I love this text. I'm trying to get to the meat of it. Because in this text, it's as if Isaiah is writing to people because people are complaining. It's as if sometimes it seems like God don't see what you're going through. Sometimes it seems as if God has overlooked. That's why preacher read earlier the 27th verse. In that 27th verse, a question is being asked. One, God is asking the question, Jacob, why are you complaining? And the answer is, it seems like my ways, my situation, my circumstance is hidden from the Lord. And then he comes back, God comes back to say, well, haven't you heard? Has thou not known? Has thou not heard? The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the world. He doesn't grow tired. He's not weary. And here's that other part. There's no searching of his understanding. In other words, you got to know who you're dealing with. First of all, if you're his child, he's not overlooked you. He has not forgotten you. But then you also got to remember, you can't totally understand your father. That's what it means when he says there's no searching of his understanding, because God can be working on your behalf even when you think he's forgotten all about you. God could be moving, because he could be moving on your behalf even when you think that the world is all against you, because that's the kind, there's no searching of his understanding. You can't figure him out. God can promote you by letting you take a step backwards. Have I got a witness here? God can put you in by letting somebody take you out. God can raise you up by taking you down. You've got to learn how to trust this sovereign, the sovereign one, because he's in control. Carla says there's no problem too big for him, too hard for him. In every situation, he's still the sovereign God. And there's this conversation going back and forth. And then Isaiah, it's as if he's saying, he gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even youth, they get tired. They grow weary. Sometimes they utterly fall. And then we get to verse 31, and it says, but, now you know you got a transition here, because you're saying all of this can happen. All the youth get weary, people get tired. It seems like things are not going their way. And then, but, and then the text, let me do a King James version. It says, but they, meaning there's another group of people. They, listen to this, those who choose to wait on the Lord, those who decide, I'm going to put my confidence in the Lord. Hey, those who say, even though it's raining, it doesn't look like anything's coming my way, still, I'm going to cast my lot with God. Those who said, though it doesn't look like nothing's coming, I'm going to trust, I'm going to depend on him. And then he gives us an image of what can happen if you wait on him. He says, now I'm going to give you a picture that you can take with you when you leave church, so that it'll remind you of what will happen if you wait on him. He says, here's the image. I'll let you mount up on wings like an eagle. Here we go. I'll make you eagle people. Since you got YouTube, go on home, pull it up, get you some information. It's all in there. You'll learn the lesson. Just look at the eagle. If you ever forget what I'll do for you, pull up National Geographic, get rid of Jerry Springer, spend some time on National Geographic, and just check out the eagle. And when you see the eagle, you'll see yourself, because here is what I will do for you. Are you ready? Wait a minute, we ain't there yet. Slow your roll. They dwell in high places. you don't never see no eagle hanging out on the floor of the jungle. No. The eagle, if you're going to be eagle people, You need to know you have been destined to dwell in high places. Matter of fact, watch this. No eaglet was born at the bottom and then elevated to the top. No, the eaglet was born in high places. And so the question is, if you an eagle and you ended up in the low place, how in the... Because you were born. You started. You dwell in high places from birth. Your development took place in high places. You don't ever see a mother eaglet or father eaglet bring the eaglet down to the ground to learn nothing. Everything they need, they learn it in a high place. Everything they need, from the time they open their eyes, here's what they see every day. They either see a mama eagle or a daddy eagle fly away and come back and put something down their throat. A little while later, somebody flies away, comes back, and feeds them everything they need. And they grow quickly. Because in a matter of 3 months, them little eaglets have turned into almost full grown. But everything they need, they are developing within that nest. They start as a fur ball, and the next thing you know, they're stumbling. But here's the good news. They're stumbling in the nest. They're learning how to stand, but sometimes they fall. But here's the good news. They fall in the nest. They're learning to flap their wings, trying to get coordinated, takes them a minute, but all of that happens in the nest. Matter of fact, they learn how to hover. And you know where they learn that? In the nest. Everything they need happens in the nest. And then lo and behold, before they know it, it is time for them to experience an amazing discovery. Every eagle must discover. If they don't make this discovery, they will never accomplish what they've been destined to do. They have to discover their wings. Because when you look at an eagle, it's a lot like a human being in a way, because it's got, you know, you got this portion of the arm, you got this portion of the arm, and then you got the hand. When y'all check it out when I'm done preaching, and you look at the anatomy of the wing, you'll see what I'm talking about. But they've got to learn how, they got to discover their wings. Because if they never discover their wings, they'll really never be able to understand their purpose. And once they discover their wings, they've been seeing something all the time, but they haven't quite been able to put it all together. They've been seeing their mother and father leave the nest and come back. Leave the nest and come back. For 3 months, mama and daddy has been leaving the nest and coming back. They've watched them launch and return. Launch and return. All day, launching and returning. And all of that is part of their training, because if they never see another eagle fly, then they won't know how to fly. Leaving, launching, and returning. That's how you do it. Launching and returning. They were getting the lesson, they just didn't know they were getting the lesson. But then finally, and here's how it goes. Typically, it's going to happen one or two ways. It can happen one or two ways. For some, after they've spent some time hovering, what'll happen is the mother eaglet will go to a distance and will call them by name and encourage them. And they see where they are, but they see where mother is, and she'll call them, and they'll call back, and she'll keep on calling them. And the intent is, and I really don't, I looked it up on Rosetta Stone. They don't have a language called eagle talk, but I was trying to find it because I wanted to know what was the mother eagle saying. I couldn't figure it out, but here's what I think she was saying. I think she was saying, you can do it. That's what I really do. I really think she was saying, you can do it. I've seen you. You can do it. You can make it. You can do it. You can do it. And for some, a little encouragement with a call is all it takes. For some. But then there's another crowd. The mother eaglet says, now, Pookie. This nest wasn't designed for three grown eagles. And me and your daddy built this nest. And it's about time. You big enough. It's time for you to bust a move. And what you'll discover, if that other eaglet won't launch by itself at an appointed time, that mother, I know there's some that thinks it's cruel, but the truth is there's some that really needs at an appointed time to get a little push, and she will push them out. And here's what they discover. They discover that eagle, when he begins stop flopping and all of that, he doesn't fly real pretty at first. Nobody does. Nobody fly real pretty at first. When I went out on my own, I wasn't flying real pretty at first. But when it becomes a life and death situation, I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. Here's the image. I'll renew your strength. And I'll let you mount up with wings. I'll let you be like an eagle. I close with this. I just want to interview the eagle that has finally taken flight. I want to ask three questions and I'm done. My first question to the eaglet is this. You really aren't that big. You really aren't that big. And the eaglet said, you know, you're right. A full-grown eagle is only about 14 pounds. That's two big chickens. No, it ain't that big. He ain't that big. He really isn't. He's not that big. He's about 14 pounds, about 30 inches tall. Yeah. But he ain't that big. But when he stretches out his wings, he's got a wingspan of 7 feet. I know. I'm not that big. I know. By myself, I know I ain't that big, but I've been designed in such a way that though I'm not big, God's given me something that if I just use it, I'll be big enough. You missed it. I I don't have to be big. I just got to learn how to use what God gave. You still don't get it. Come here, David. He's just a boy. I know I ain't that big. But if I just use what God gave me, I'm big enough to do what God called me to do. Question number two. You walk funny. Hey, Eagle, you walk funny. And your feet are funny. Here's what Eagle said. I know, you're right. I know you're right. But these feet weren't made for walking. These feet weren't made for walking. Matter of fact, if you ever see me walking, it's a rare thing. Because I don't get to where I got to go by walking. Want me show you what these feet were made for? Because everything that God creates, he creates it with purpose in mind. No, that's all right. Last question and I'm done. We out of here. Eaglet, here's my last question. I saw you in the sky, and I watched you, and you had your wings stretched out, and I saw you go higher, and you never flapped your wings. How is it that you were able to go higher, but you not one time did you flap your wings? Now that's a good question, because in order to understand that, you got to know a little something about thermodynamics and all of that kind of stuff, because the truth is, the good God we serve is heating up the earth. You can't see it, but he's heating the earth, and the wind, the current is rising. You can't see it, but there's a thing called thermodynamics, and the air is rising in certain places. You can't see it, but it's there. In the airplane, it's called turbulence. I call it bumpy air. When you get in the airplane, the pilot will tell you, keep your seatbelts on, because we might experience some turbulence. He says, I'm going to do my best to avoid it so that we can have a smooth ride. But I, the Eagle, have been designed for this. I look for bumpy air. And here's all I need you to understand. God has designed me for bumpy air. And when I get in bumpy air, listen to me, daughter, all I gotta do is find it and face it and be still. Stretch my hand and then lean towards him, and every bump takes me a little higher. Have I got a witness? Every bump takes me a little higher. And I'm not trying to get through it. I'm trying to stay in it. That's why my wings are tilted. When my wings are tilted, it makes me turn. And as I turn and get hit by the bumpy air, it takes me higher and higher and higher. I know there's some people you don't like turbulence, but keep on growing, because God's got to teach you to thank him for bumpy air. Quit flapping. Be still. Lean on him and watch him take you higher
won't he take you? Higher, won't God take you?